We're so glad you're here today. We are kicking off a new teaching where we, several times a year, we take a book of the Bible and we say, what are the big things that we believe that God has for us as a church? And so if you don't mind, if you're able to physically stand with me, we'll start with reading scripture this morning as we get ready. If you don't know the story of Exodus, or maybe you've seen the movie, anybody seen the movie? The nation of Israel has been in Egypt for 450 years. Every year of slavery is harder and harsher than the year before. If you've been around here the last couple of weeks, we've made a really big deal that God made promises that one day they'd be a great nation and one day they'd have their own land. And in the middle, when we find the story in Exodus, what we find is that they're wondering, where is this promise, God? God, have you forgotten us? God, where are you? And we meet a guy named Moses. Moses, when he started out great, and then somewhere along the way, he had a moment that he felt like disqualified him. And so for 40 years, he was in the desert, and for 40 years, he was away. And in Exodus chapter 3, God shows up and says, I have something for you to do. And that's what I'm excited about today, is I believe that in this room and watching online, there's something God has for you. There's something that God wants to do in and through your life. Let's look at it together. Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now Moses was pasturing the flock. And again, this is what he's been doing for the last 40 years. He's like, man, I'm just a shepherd. I'm just pasturing this flock. For about 40 years, he's in the middle of nowhere in a place called Midian. It says, now Moses was pasturing the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, which I think is a funny name, by the way. He said that, hopefully no Jethro is here today. Said the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness. He came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and this is also known as the Mount Sinai. And so we'll get into more of that in the weeks ahead. Verse 2, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire. Oftentimes, when you see the phrase, the angel of the Lord, especially if the word Lord is capitalized in your Bible, that's referring oftentimes to God showing up. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside, see this marvelous sight, why this bush is not burning up. Verse 4, and when the Lord saw that he had turned to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. So it's almost as if God's waiting for Moses to give him his attention, for Moses to turn. And then God speaks. Verse 5. Then he said to him, do not come near. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Again, saying, man, I'm the God of the promise. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their outcry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their suffering. And maybe some of us have felt that way. Maybe we felt like we're in a desert season. Maybe we felt like we're on the backside of nowhere, and we wonder, does God even know? And this is a reminder that God sees, God knows. In fact, look what it goes on to say in verse 8. So I have come down to rescue them. This is God saying, I'm doing something, right? I'm stepping into the mess. I'm stepping into what you're facing. He says, so I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians, to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I've seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them, and now come, I will send you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of today. For every single person that has felt like they're in a desert season, for every single person that maybe is losing hope, I pray that today you'd use your word and how you spoke to Moses in our lives. Help us to move towards freedom. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. What's interesting in Exodus chapter 3 is Moses has been gone from Egypt for 40 years. Moses has been in this wilderness season for 40 years. Moses has been in the middle of obscurity for 40 years. And I guarantee you, in those moments, it's easy to begin to wonder, God, have you forgotten me? God, do you even care? God, is there something? Are you actually going to keep this promise? And now in Exodus 3, God shows up. He says, I've seen the oppression. God shows up and he says, I've heard their cry. God shows up and says, there's something I'm going to do. And instead of Moses saying, man, that's going to be amazing. Instead of Moses saying, God, this is going to be unbelievable. Thank you for remembering and thank you for making the promise. Instead, the moment God says, I'm going to move you towards freedom, Moses begins to push back with excuses. I think that's true in every one of our lives. One of the pictures that we get from the book of Exodus is that this is a fight towards freedom. I mean, if you don't know the book of Exodus, it's 40 chapters long. A lot of times people know Genesis because it's the beginning, and they know Deuteronomy because it's a great sermon by Moses. But sometimes we don't think about where are we in the story. Where we are in the story is God's promise one day they're going to get to the promised land. So that's like stage 3 of the story. One day you're going to enter into this promised land. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be unbelievable. It's what I call the season where you get to the place where you surrender to God. Today, we're at season 1 where God says, I just want you to start. And over the next couple of weeks, we'll be in season 2 where there's a lot of struggle. See, a lot of times people want to get to season 3. I want the freedom, the land, the promise, but we never get started and we lose sight during the struggle. Does that make sense? A lot of times we want God to say, all right, I'm going to do something great in your life and then pray some magic prayer and then suddenly we're there. But what we find through Exodus is that anytime there's freedom, freedom is never free and freedom always comes with a fight. What happens in Exodus 3 and 4 is Moses is fighting against this sense of freedom. And the way that it shows up in Joseph's life or in Moses' life is it shows up as excuses. Now, let me take a poll. By show of hands, how many of you know people that always have an excuse of why they shouldn't do something? Anybody have a friend that, how many are not afraid to admit you're that person? Right? Some of us have the spiritual gift of excuses, right? It's like, yeah, you should do this. Well, I can't. It was raining this morning when I got up. Well, you should do that, right? And sometimes we have so many excuses, so many excuses. Well, for Moses, these excuses really reflect excuses I've seen in my own life. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to lift these up. I want to show you how Moses pushed back. And I want to ask you the question, have you seen these excuses in your own life? Have you voiced them? Have you felt them in your heart? And are you ready to say yes to what God has? So excuse number one, if you're a note taker, excuse number one for Moses to push back on God saying, I'm going to send you, I'm going to use you, is number one, I am not good enough. I'm not good enough. If you were to rewind the story before Moses was out in the desert for 40 years, what you may know is that Moses grew up in Pharaoh's household. Moses grew up with the best teachers. Moses grew up in a house of luxury. And so if you were to rewind the story 40 years, if God would have shown up in chapter 1 or chapter 2 and said, Moses, now I'm sending you, I guarantee you, Moses would have been like, that's awesome. I'm the man. I'm ready. Like, look at me. I'm pretty smart. I've got tutors. I live in the great house. I've got a lot of authority. But now, 40 years later, listen to his response in verse 11. God says, I'm going to send you. I want you to go back. Listen to his response in chapter 3, verse 11. It says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I that I should bring back the sons of Israel out of Egypt? 40 years ago, Moses would have been like, I'm the man. This is awesome. God, thank you for using me. Now 40 years on the other side of the desert where the dreams go to die in the desert. Instead of saying yes, Moses' first response was an excuse. I'm not good enough. Who am I? Who am I? I wonder how many of us have done that in our own lives. I wonder how many times we discount ourselves. I wonder how many times we've been in desert seasons. For a lot of us, our desert season hasn't been anywhere near 40 years that Moses went through. For some of us, it's when desert seasons hit for 4 minutes, 4 months, or 4 years, and we begin to lose our dream. And then sometimes somebody like me or Pastor Chuck or somebody else stands up and says, I believe God has a plan for your life. I believe God wants to do something in you and through you. I believe God's got some big plan for how he's going to use you to change the world. And I wonder how many times we come back and we say, but I am not good enough. I don't have it together. In so many ways, we become our own worst enemies. We point out everything that's wrong. We point out how we're not ready. And so here's the encouragement today. Don't let the voice of your past be louder than the voice of God's future for your life. Does that make sense? Don't let your past, well, look at all the things, look at all this stuff. Don't let the voice of the past be louder than God's voice for your future. Because when God looks at you, he doesn't see you as you are. He sees you as you're going to be. When God looks at you, he doesn't see all the history and all the mistakes on the other side of saying yes to Jesus, on the other side of saying, I want to obey him over time. Just like the song said earlier, if we're not dead and God's not done, the goal is not that we would ever say, man, I'm perfect, but that we would keep growing. And so excuse number one that some of us have this morning is I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Excuse number two is I don't know enough. Have you ever felt like you don't know enough to do something? I don't know enough. So God again is saying, hey, I want you to go back to Egypt and I want you to go to Pharaoh and I want you to deliver my people. I want you to help me fulfill this promise. And listen to what Moses says in verse 13. Moses said to the Lord God, he said, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel. And so he's almost playing this out. He's like, hey, all right, so what if I do go? And what if I do go back to Egypt? And what if I do talk to them? And I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. They may say back to me, well, what is his name? And Moses is like, what will I say? I don't even know. Moses is like, I don't know enough. I don't have all the details. Again, if you were to rewind 40 years when Moses was still living in Pharaoh's household, if you were to rewind to him having private tutors, if you rewind to him having access to the best thinking in all the land, 40 years before, Moses would have been a little bit, he would have had some swagger about him. He would have been like, yeah, I got it. I'm a leader. I've got a position. I've got authority. This is going to be amazing. But now 40 years on the other side of the desert, he's like, I don't know enough. I don't know how many of you have ever felt that way. I don't know if you've had what we call a lot of times in our world imposter syndrome, where you're like, man, I've got some position or I've got some station in life. What if somebody finds out I don't know what I'm doing? In fact, in a few weeks, we've got baby dedication coming up. And I remember when I was part of baby dedication back in the fall, I was talking to a young couple that had their first little baby. They're like, I couldn't believe they actually let us take this baby home without any instruction manual or passing some class. Have y'all ever felt that way? I mean, I wonder how many times we felt like we don't know enough, because here's what I know is if we waited till we felt like we knew enough, we would probably not do anything, would we? If you waited till you knew everything there was to know about relationships, you probably would never get married. If you waited until you knew everything about having a kid, you'd probably never have a kid. If you waited to know everything there is to know about whatever job you're in, you probably never would have started, because here's what I know. You don't know how much you know until you're in a place of not knowing. Do you know what I'm saying? That's a lot of no's in one sentence. You don't know. You don't know. Excuse number one, I'm not good enough. Excuse number two, I don't know enough. I was thinking about this first hour. A few weeks ago, we had a Next membership breakfast, and every time we do this, we ask a few members to be in there as hosts. And one of the hosts that last time was Tom and Gigi Tucker, and Gigi volunteers with English as a Second Language on Wednesday nights. In fact, she's attending Espanol today as a way of just supporting their community. Now, before she started teaching ESL, she didn't know Spanish. And when we started English as a Second Language on Wednesday nights a few semesters ago, we thought maybe 20 people will show up. Well, now on any Wednesday night, we have over 100 people showing up. And so in new members class, one of the things I talk about is, hey, there's a place to serve. It takes about 300 plus people on a weekly basis to serve here to make Sundays and through the week happen. And so I just randomly put Gigi on the spot and said, hey, would you talk about what you've done in serving? And I'd never heard her talk about it before. I don't know why I took the step and asked her, but I put her on the spot and said, hey, what would you say about serving? And man, the moment she started talking about ESL, she lit up. Have you seen it when people, like, they just, you can tell And she talked about the life-giving aspect of her just serving. And I guarantee you, if she waited until, well, I need to learn a little Spanish, or I need to go through the app and learn it all. If she waited until she knew it all, she would have missed the blessings. Does that make sense? Excuse number one, I'm not good enough. Excuse number two, I don't know enough. Excuse number three for Moses is, I don't have enough influence. I don't have enough clout. I don't have enough swagger anymore. Here's what he says in chapter 4, verse 1. Moses says back to the Lord, well, what if they won't believe me? What if they won't listen to me? What if they won't listen to what I say? They may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. What if I don't have influence anymore? If you were to rewind 40 years, he would have been like, man, I know all the key players. If you rewind 40 years, I know how to get this done. But now, after 40 years in the desert, the swagger is gone. The confidence is gone. Lord, what if they don't even listen to me? I don't have that kind of influence. And I wonder how many times that's our kind of excuse. I wonder how many times we hear from Scripture that God wants to use us, that God's given us all abilities and gifts, and he's wired us in a way not just for ourselves, but to use it for his kingdom. And I wonder how many times we hear that, but in the back of our mind, we've got this excuse. In the back of our minds, we're like, I don't have that kind of influence. In the back of our minds, we think, yeah, that sounds great. I mean, Gigi and ESL, that sounds awesome, but not me. Or kids ministry at 11 o'clock, man, to hold babies and show them the unconditional love of Jesus so that their parents can be part of worship, or to be with our elementary kids and be a consistent voice in their life, or to serve in student ministry and say, I don't have all the influence in the world, but I'm willing to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I wonder how many times we use the excuse to say, but I don't have that kind of influence. I mean, that's part of my story. Is when I was growing up, I wasn't the cool athletic kid. At least when I was in youth group, the thing was you wanted all the jocks to be part of your youth group, and you wanted it to be sports related and all the things. And man, I gotta tell you, I'm not good at sports at all. I've told you before, I struck out at T-ball, which is very humiliating. No lie, when I was a little kid, I remember playing T-ball, and I remember somehow I got on base, and I was on third base, and I had one coach yelling at me, go home. And the other coach was saying, stay on third. And they both kept yelling. And so I did what every cool sports kid does. I just broke down and wept in the middle of that line there, right? So I was never a sports guy. I was a band nerd, though. Where's my band folks? This is our one chance to show up in force. Come on, where are my band people at? I was the drum major my senior year of high school. So I had the stick and the hat and the feather stick. Yes. So there was this excuse inside of me. I've always been sort of shy. I have a little bit of social anxiety, more on the introverted side. And when God started dealing with me, it's like, but I don't have that kind of influence. But here's what I found. You know what God's more concerned about? God's not looking down and say, hey, Moses, I wish you had a little bit more influence. Moses, I wish you had a little bit more political strategy behind what you do. You know what God's more concerned about than influence? God is far more concerned with availability. God is more concerned about people that say, God, if you want to use me, I'm open. Does that track with you? Does that make sense? Excuse number one is, man, I'm not good enough. Excuse number two is, I don't know enough. Excuse number three is, I don't have enough influence. Excuse number four is, I don't have enough skills. I don't have enough skills. Moses pushes back again in verse 10 of chapter 4. He says, please, Lord, I've never been eloquent. Please, Lord, I've never been eloquent. You're asking me to be your voice. You're asking me to be your representative. You're asking me to speak on your behalf to your people and to Pharaoh, but I've never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you've spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and I'm slow of tongue. This is why some people felt like maybe he's got a speech impediment. Maybe he's not quick on his feet. Maybe he's a processor and he's like, there's no way. I don't have enough skills. And I wonder how many times we fall into the same place where we feel like we're disqualified. We feel like we're not qualified. We feel like, man, if I had more skills, and whatever that looks like for you, if I had more confidence, if I had more speech ability, if I had more leadership, if I had more pedigree or degrees. But here's the truth. God is not limited by your limitations. God's not limited by that. Yesterday, I had the privilege of preaching a funeral for a gentleman named Mr. Paul. He was 74 years old. He passed away unexpectedly Wednesday morning. Man, and his niece and nephew-in-law are just sweet people that are part of our church. And so I was honored to learn more about Mr. Paul. Mr. Paul, when he was born with some disabilities, and he was never able to speak. One of his arms was not usable. Basically, he lived his whole 74 years like a child trapped in a man's body. And when I started hearing the stories about Mr. Paul, when I started hearing them talk about what he was like and what he cared about, not one time did anybody say, man, he grew up and he got bitter about his station in life. Not one time did they say, yeah, he just stayed in the house and closed the blinds and just sat there and didn't do anything. Instead, what they said is every time you saw him, he had a smile on his face. And every time you saw him, he would greet you with a hug. And every single day, he had a routine. There was a lot he couldn't do, but there was a lot he could do. Every single day, he had a routine of feeding the birds in their neighborhood. And literally, hawks show up at the same time every day because they know he's going to feed them. And his great niece, to be able to play toys with her. And even with his disability of only having use of one hand, it didn't stop him from being a carpenter, that he learned how to hold nails between his toes and hammer with the one hand that he could use. If anybody deserved to say, there's no way God could use me, I think he probably would have had a good excuse. And yet, his inability did not limit God. Does that make sense? I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I don't have enough influence. I don't have enough skills. Excuse number five, I don't feel worthy enough. I don't feel worthy enough. I don't feel worthy enough. You say God wants to use me? Yeah, but if you knew me, you wouldn't say that. That's easy for the preacher to say. You don't know what I carry with me my whole life, thinking I'm not worthy. Listen to what Moses says, verse 13, chapter 4. Please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. In other words, what he's saying is, Lord, send anybody else but me. God, that's great. You want to fulfill your promise. God, that's awesome. You want to do something great. God, that's great that you want to move us towards freedom. But God, use anybody but me. Are you kidding me? 40 years ago, Moses would have been proud of that. 40 years ago, Moses would have been like, that's awesome. Yes, God, use me. Now, 40 years later, on the backside of the desert, feeling forgotten, alone, and felt like he was not worthy, God says, I'm sending you. And his response is, anybody else but me. Now, I wonder how many times we find ourselves in that same headspace where we hear about a need, we hear about a problem, we hear about a thing, and we think that's a problem somebody ought to meet, but anybody but me. And what I found is that excuse that we amplify in our life is this excuse we begin to exemplify and live out where we're like, anybody but me. Let me ask you a question. What if you're wrong? What if you're wrong? What if that thing that you've been assuming that God could never use you for, what if you're wrong? What if the very excuses you've been holding on to are actually the doors that God is going to use to open freedom in your life and the life of other people? What if that thing that you see as a weakness, what if that thing that you feel like disqualifies you, what if that's the very thing that God himself is going to use to change the world? What if you're wrong? What if you're wrong? Who says you're not worthy? Is it the voice in your head? Is it the voice of somebody older than you, taller than you, somebody that spoke? Who tells you you're wrong? When did Moses become worthy to be used? I'll tell you when Moses became worthy to be used. When God called him. It wasn't, oh, Moses, finally, you've got enough good in your life. It wasn't, oh, finally, Moses, you've learned all there is to know. Oh, Moses, look at how skilled you are. The thing that God used in Moses' life wasn't, hey, I'm good enough. It wasn't, I know enough. It wasn't, I've got enough skill. It wasn't, I've got enough influence. It wasn't, I'm worthy. The thing that God used in Moses' life is the very same thing he wants to use in your life. Not your ability, not your intellect, not your influence. You know what God used? His obedience. His obedience. The one thing that overcomes every single one of these objections is a simple yes. Because here's the truth. It wasn't just Moses doing this stuff. God says, oh, by the way, I'll be with you. He doesn't say, oh, I want you to go to Pharaoh and stand, good luck with all that. God says, I'm going with you. What would it look like if instead of all the excuses, we realize God is with me and I don't have to be smart enough. I don't have to have all the influence. I don't have to have all the ability. I don't have to ever feel ready, because if we're waiting for ready, we'll never get there. But what I can do is I can start with yes. And I can be obedient to the very next thing that God's asked me to do. Maybe for Gigi, it wasn't, hey, I'm going to learn Spanish one day and I'm going to be the best Spanish teacher, but I can say yes. I can show up on Wednesday nights and I can show the love of Jesus to a group of folks that are trying their best to learn this language. Or it could be to say, hey, I don't claim to have students figured out, but what I can do is I can commit to show up every week and just be a consistent voice and a word of encouragement in the life of a student. You don't have to claim that you know all there is to know about kids, but what you can say is, hey, on Sunday mornings, I want to, a few times a month, I want to be another person in the life of the child that helps them see modeled. Somebody that's not perfect, but somebody that says, I'm trying to follow Jesus. You don't have to wait till you're ready. You just have to start. Obedience isn't, I feel confident. Obedience sometimes is, I'm going to say yes even when I'm scared. Obedience is, I'm going to follow through even when I don't know how it's going to end. A lot of times we want to know how the story ends. Moses didn't know that years later he was going to deliver them into the promised land. Moses didn't know that he was going to look back and see that he led 3 million people into freedom. Moses didn't know that by the time he writes the words down from Deuteronomy that he's going to have all of this boldness to say, your God is one God, let's worship him. Moses was a different person 40 years later after he said yes. And I can't help but to believe how different our lives are going to be and how different our church is going to be and how different our community is going to be if we just said yes. I'm going to quit giving excuses. I'm going to quit sitting on my tail. I'm going to quit counting myself out and say, if God's called me, he's qualified me. If God has asked me to do it, I'm going to say yes. And here's what Exodus 4 verse 20 says. So Moses took his wife and his sons and he returned to the land of Egypt. Ultimately, he said yes. And so for every person that feels like, well, I'm not good enough, here's what I believe. When Jesus died on the cross and you put your faith in him, he actually does make you good enough. When we say, hey, I don't know enough, when Jesus is your theology and you know Jesus, you know absolutely enough. When you say, man, I don't have enough influence, what I know is that when you put your faith in Jesus, he becomes your source of power. When you say, I don't have enough skills to do that thing, When you have Jesus in your life, he becomes the source of your service. When you say, I don't feel worthy enough, when Jesus died on the cross and came back to life and gave you a brand new start, Jesus said, you're worthy. I know that feels uncomfortable, but if Jesus died for you, he thinks he can use you. Are you tracking with me? And so for every single person today that you feel like you're on the backside of the desert and you feel like there's no way, there's no hope, Jesus wants to use you. Can I pray for you this morning? Would you bow your heads for a moment? Would you close your eyes? Is there anybody this morning that would just say, hey, Bobby, as you pray, pray for me. I know Christ personally, but somewhere along the way, I feel like my dreams have died. Maybe you've been in some version of the desert and you know what that means for your life. And you just say, Bobby, pray for me that I would have hope again. Pray for me that I would hear God's voice, that I would listen to what he wants to do in my life. If that's you, and you'd allow me to pray for you, would you just quietly just slip your hands straight up in the air, straight up in the air, and say, hey, would you pray for me? Yeah. Yeah. You can put your hands down. Let me ask a second question. Is there anybody this morning that'd say, Bobby, as you pray, pray for me. I don't know that I know Christ personally. I don't know that there's ever been that moment that I've accepted his free gift, but I know that I want to. I want to have Jesus in the center of my life so it's not me trying to do these things, it's him living in me. If that's you and you'd allow me to pray for you, would you do the same thing? Just slip your hands straight up in the air, straight up in the air. Yeah. Yeah. This morning I want to pray for you. I want to pray two parts. One is if you don't know Christ personally, there's nothing magic about these words, but it's the heart behind it. If you're ready to put your faith and trust in him, you can pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and that my sin separates me from you. But I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe you're alive today. And as best as I know how, I ask you to save me. Would you step out of heaven and into my heart and rescue me? Help me to live for you. And if you prayed that prayer with me today, I'd love for you to drop us a note this week at hello@sugarhillchurch.com. I'd love to give you some resources, grab you a cup of coffee or a Zoom call and talk to you about next steps. But if you're a believer today, I'm going to invite you to pray this part of the prayer, a prayer for courage, that even in the middle of excuses, we'd have the courage to say yes and obey even when we're scared, obey even when it's hard, to just get started and do it anyway. Heavenly Father, would you give me courage to trust you? Would you give me courage to take the next step and do whatever you've placed on my heart to do? God, help your voice to be louder than the voice in my head that's telling me why I can't. Help me to obey you regardless of what it costs me, regardless of when I'm scared, regardless when I'm uncertain. God, would you help me to do it anyway? Father, that's my prayer today for myself and for my friends. Would you help us to be a people that says yes? And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Zach and the team are here. Before we head out, I'd love for us to sing this out, to lift this up. I do want to invite you back. This week was honestly, just the setup. God's got so much more for us throughout the book of Exodus. And so I want to invite you back next Sunday as Pastor Chuck. I believe Pastor Chuck and I are actually tag teaming next week. And so we'd love for you to continue walking through this. Let's lift this up before we go. Let's sing this out.
I will bring praise. I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice. I will declare God is my victory.
This beautiful day, we pray that God would grant you peace as you go into your week, and we can't wait to worship with you again soon. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you.